Hudson, you know, was the only motor car you stepped down into.
Will you cash this check, please?
I want to make a deposit on my savings account.
The key to my safety deposit box, please.
I'd like to buy a United States savings bond.
I want to see about a loan on my car.
$150 in traveler's checks, please.
Please give me $20 in nickels.
Yes, those are the services you ask your bank to provide every business day, year in and year out. And there are a great many more. Tomorrow, from 4 in the afternoon until 8 at night, the First National Bank and Trust Company of Kalamazoo is holding open house in its new modernized banking quarters. To many of you who are listening, this is your bank. You'll look it over tomorrow, but tonight we want to take you behind the scenes a bit and show you how that bank of yours operates, how it's able to meet the demands you put on it, and how it's a vital institution throughout this part of the state. When you visit the First National tomorrow, you'll see $1 million in currency on display, plus $1 million government bond. That's a lot of money, but the current statement of the First National indicates that its total resources add up to better than $50 million. It has $47.5 million in deposits, your money. Its job is first of all to keep that money safe, so you can draw it out when you want it. Its second job is to put that money to work, to promote the growth and expansion of industry and agriculture in Kalamazoo and the surrounding area, to make it possible for you to have homes and all it takes to equip them, and to share in the financing of our national government through investments in United States government securities. Its third job is to serve as a medium of exchange, to provide you with currency in desired forms, and to make possible the efficient transfer of credits and debits from one person or business firm to another. Safety for your deposits in First National begins with the directors, 15 in number, all local men chosen because of their tested judgment in the transaction of business. Like other national banks, First National is controlled by the rules of the Federal Reserve Board and all the legislation that is designed to assure you security. Every penny of your deposits, up to $5,000 for each person, is guaranteed by the federal government. Hence, the average depositor knows that his money is as safe as his government when it's in the hands of his bank. Your bank takes elaborate precautions to safeguard the money it holds from fire and thieves. First National has 2 huge currency vaults and 3 storage vaults, in addition to a large safety deposit vault. One vault door weighs 11 tons, another 22 tons. I have asked Mr. Garrett Beekman, assistant cashier of the bank, to tell our radio audience something about how the mechanism of the main currency vault operates.
The 6 walls of our vault are made of 18 inches of reinforced concrete with a 1-inch steel lining. As you mentioned, Mr. Dunbar, the steel door weighs 11 tons and is so perfectly balanced that it can be opened or closed with ease. In addition to a combination lock, this door is equipped with 4 time locks. An officer of the bank sets the lock each evening after the currency has been placed in the vault, and after the door is once closed, it cannot be opened until the next morning. As an illustration, if the time locks are set for 17 hours at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the door cannot be opened until 9 o'clock the following morning. Also, the vaults are protected by sound wave burglar alarms. And in case anyone should accidentally get locked in the vault, there is a ventilating system which can be turned on so that the person can survive until the vault is reopened.
Thank you, Mr. Beekman. I think I should add that it's not necessary for First National to keep on hand an excessively large amount of currency because more can be obtained quickly from the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago. And by the way, currency is shipped by both mail and express. Thus, the safety and security of your deposits in First National are assured by the prudence of its directors, Federal Reserve regulations, federal deposit insurance, plus elaborate scientific and mechanical means. The bank of yesterday sought to give its customers the illusion of security by erecting massive banking buildings with heavy columns, steel cages for the tellers, and lots of marble supports that looked like they would last for eternity. Oftentimes, the real foundations of such a bank were weak and tottering. The architecture only covered up the actual insecurity of the institution. But modern bank architecture and design, as exemplified by the new First National, are pointed first of all towards service to the customer. There are few steel bars. Everything is out in the open. In the new First National, there is only a low barrier between the teller and his customer. All the officers of the bank, with the sole exception of the president and the chairman of the board, sit at desks located on the main floor of the bank. The design of the new First National says to the people of Kalamazoo, "Come in, we want to serve you." And so, let's see just how your bank goes about serving you. Suppose you want to borrow money for the expansion of your business or your manufacturing plant or your farm. How do you go about it? Here is Mr. Vern Weatherby, Vice President of First National Bank and Trust Company, whom I believe can give us the answer to that question.
As a general rule, bank loans are made for short periods of time, and business loans should be self-liquidating. That is, the proceeds of loans may be used to help finance the manufacturing of merchandise, the resale of which will provide funds to repay the loan. In the case of a retailer, the proceeds of a loan might, for example, be used to increase inventory for peak seasons of the year. Then, as the goods are sold, accounts receivable may be created, and as these accounts are paid, the retailer has funds with which to repay the loan. Plant expansion should be financed through a bank real estate or chattel mortgage and be repaid out of profits by regular payments. Usually, loans of this type require a number of years to liquidate, and a bank can afford to tie up only a very small percentage of its deposits in loans of this kind, which we term slow assets.
Well, now, what does a bank consider when making a loan, Mr. Weatherby?
There are a number of things a bank takes into consideration in determining whether or not to approve a loan application. First of all, the reputation and ability of the management is of utmost importance. The financial strength of the business is given careful thought. This is done by examining a series of balance sheets and profit and loss statements so that not only the present financial picture can be seen, but the trend over a number of years can be examined to see if the business is making progress, standing still, or declining. Then we also take into consideration a number of ratios between various statement items, which I am sorry I do not have time to discuss on this program. As to farm loans, contrary to the general belief, I think, most banks are interested in agricultural loans. Most certainly, the First National Bank and Trust Company of Kalamazoo is, and last July, it established a separate agricultural department, and we hope in the future to be even more helpful to the farmer in all types of agricultural financing.
And how about personal loans?
Personal loans are made on an entirely different basis than our business and agricultural loans, which accounts for the establishment of a separate personal loan department. Personal loans are usually predicated on the past paying record of the individual and his ability to repay as determined by his present income in comparison with his debts. Financial strength or net worth does not play such an important part in arriving at a decision on the credit. Of course, in all types of lending, the purpose of the proposed loan is very important.
Thank you, Mr. Weatherby. After the loan is made, provisions have to be made for payments of interest and principal, as well as all the accounting involved. When you visit First National, you'll see windows designated for this purpose, windows marked commercial loans, discounts, mortgage payments, land contracts, and so on. But most of the windows are devoted to handling savings and commercial accounts. You see, First National has more than 25,000 regular savings accounts and some 8,000 Christmas savings accounts. About 28 people are required to handle First National's 5,000 commercial accounts, while another group is assigned to the 3,500 pay-by-check accounts. That's accounts on which the customer pays 5 cents per check drawn for bank service. And by the way, you might like to know that the checking accounts constitute the most expensive operation of the bank. Probably the best-known people in a bank are the men and women who serve as tellers, the people whom you see when you go to the bank to withdraw money or make a deposit. What are the duties of a teller, and what's an average banking day like for him? Well, perhaps Mr. Floyd Roethlisberger, manager of the savings department at First National, could enlighten us on those matters.
Savings teller reports for work at 9 o'clock or before 9 o'clock in busier seasons. The first thing that he does is to get the cash out of the vault and into his cash drawer to be ready for business when the bank opens at 10. When that is done, he runs or adds a savings ledger to see if that is in balance. Each of these ledgers is run once a month. And in order to get this done, some of them have to be balanced every day. Each ledger has from 500 to 2,000 accounts, and the larger ones are usually divided and run by two tellers. Each teller should have his ledger run and balanced by the time the bank is opened and be ready for the first customer. A savings teller accepts deposits in savings and Christmas club accounts, pays out funds from savings accounts, cashes checks for savings depositors, and issues cashier's checks. He also makes out time certificates of deposit issued by any number of months from 3 to 12. During the day, checks that are taken in have to be added and sent to the proof department. When the bank closes, the deposit, withdrawal tickets, and Christmas club coupons have to be sorted and added, and the cash counter to see that the day's transactions are in balance. After he balances, the cash has to be put into the vault. His day usually ends around 4:30 after helping savings bookkeepers with some of their work so that they will be ready to post the deposits and withdrawals the next morning.
Well, that certainly sounds like a busy day, Mr. Roethlisberger. When I visited First National the other day, I found that a great deal of work goes on in parts of the bank the customer rarely, if ever, sees. Just about an even 100 people go to work every working day in First National here in Kalamazoo, while 11 others are assigned to the three branch banks. Up on the third floor of the bank, the bookkeeping is done for the checking accounts. The bank's 9 posting machines are located there, and their working is quite wondrous to behold, but no more so than the deftness of the young women who operate them. These machines cost about $3,000 apiece. On them, the loose leaf sheet, which contains your account, is posted mechanically, showing all your deposits and withdrawals. First National has what's called delayed posting. The bookkeepers come to work each morning about 7 o'clock and post the previous day's accounts. They're through by about 1:30. On the second floor are even more amazing kinds of machines. They're called proof and sorting machines. The canceled checks are fed into these machines by a skilled operator. She quickly tells the machine by punching the appropriate buttons the amount of the check, and then she presses one of 24 buttons, which will determine where that check will go for collection. Here's a check on a bank in Arkansas, another on a little bank in Wyoming, and a third on another local bank. Quicker than a wink, the girl presses the button which sends each of these three checks on a different route. Meanwhile, the machine keeps track of the grand total for all the checks and a separate total for each of the 24 buttons. And believe it or not, those operators can run 1,400 checks an hour through those machines. All checks, by the way, except those drawn on other local banks, are photographed before being sent for collection. The second floor of the bank also accommodates the auditing department and the office where the reports are prepared for the government agencies. The trust department is located on the second floor, too. That's a separate department of First National with a staff of 4 experienced trust officers. Starting with one account back in 1920, the department now handles 377 accounts, with total assets of $22 million. The safety deposit vault is located in the bank's basement. That's where you'll see the 22-ton vault door I spoke of. The bank has about 4,600 safety deposit boxes. This, then, is your bank. Time will not allow us to describe the branches of First National, which have been established at Vicksburg, Galesburg, and Parchment. They indicate that First National serves a much larger area than Kalamazoo proper, but they don't tell the whole story. First National is the largest bank in the southwestern part of Michigan and among the 400 largest in the nation. It's an institution of which Kalamazoo may be justly proud and in which its citizens may repose confidence and trust. It's an integral part of Kalamazoo's community life.
First National invites the people of Kalamazoo to attend its open house tomorrow afternoon and evening and to listen to 2 special programs over WKZO tomorrow. The first at 1:45 p.m. on the story of a check, and the second a direct broadcast from the bank tomorrow evening at 7.
WKZO, Kalamazoo.